up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I look forward to Tuesdays in August now. I enjoy watching Hard Knocks. And here's the deal. I criticize Hard Knocks, but it's a show I just can't not watch. I don't know why. It's not because I'm looking to get information. I'm not looking to get a better understanding of whatever team they're covering. And I don't necessarily think it's a great show from a standpoint of putting stuff together. I've said this many, many times. They follow a very, very similar formula over and over again. But I think there is something about this show, about the way you get a behind-the-scenes look into training camp, that's kind of neat, and because each team comes with different drama, while it's formulated the same way, the information is not the same way. So last night was the episode where they went to Canada to play in Winnipeg. Now, we talked about it on the next day when the field was a disaster and the Packers left 33 guys off the field, did not play in the game. John Gruden and the Raiders won the game, and Gruden said afterward the field was fine. But this is one of the reasons why I like Hard Knocks. If you can get, if that television camera and audio are following you around, they're going to pick up the real story. And they picked up the real story. Gruden wasn't very happy at all about that field, about the shortening of it. Just wanted to play, seemed really frustrated with it. But because they won, and some of his guys looked really good in the win, albeit against, oh God, who knew it, who the Packers were throwing out for that game. Sacrificial lambs, if you will, if they really didn't like the field. But nevertheless, he liked the way some of his players performed, the routes that they ran, the balls that they threw, et cetera, et cetera. He said the field was fine. But that was not the case when you watch some of the things that he talked about during leading up to the game against the Packers. Just a little inside look, which I think is kind of valuable and kind of fun. We'll get to that episode. Some other interesting notes about the Raiders from the episode last night that we got to get to. Plus, we'll get more. And I know we've been talking a lot about Andrew Luck, but boy, it feels like there's more and more stuff. The fallout continues on the Colts and the fans getting refunds to Steve Berline on Twitter. It just keeps coming for Andrew Luck and the Colts. Yeah, because it's been that kind of week. SB Nation AM.
Is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so last night's Hard Knocks episode on HBO. Listen, sometimes this organization, however, whatever production company it is, I think it's HBO production, but I don't know. They hit a home run with the team they land, right? Last year with the Browns, I just felt like that was the team that you should have had a camera on. But, you know, some of these teams don't want to do it, so they have to pick, and there's a criteria for it, so you're not getting a winning organization. You're getting a team that's probably rebuilding. Maybe they got a new coach. Maybe they got a different quarterback. All these little factors. But they did land a good episode. They've been landing some good episodes with the Raiders, especially John Gruden. He is truly the centerpiece of these episodes. His antics, his way of talking to his players, the way he conducts meetings have really been the highlight of the number of episodes. I think it's been three or four that they've had so far this season. He does this thing where he says, "Knock on wood if you're with me," and everybody goes, "Right?" And he goes, and he says it for everything, right? He goes, "All right. We're going to practice in shorts tomorrow. Knock on wood if you're with me." And then everybody knocks on wood. And he says, "All right, tomorrow we're going to get on the plane. Knock on wood if you're with me." And then they all do that. I mean, it's constant. They did a montage of it, and it was it was kind of refreshing. One little thing that he's able to do that the episode showed that I didn't realize was he's able to count down from 100 by threes. And he does it really fast without thinking. Yeah, he goes 100, 97, 94, 91, 88. He goes all the way down. And he just rapidly does it. And this is impressing the players. They're like, wow, that's crazy. But I think the episode yesterday that I loved was the whole going to Canada thing. I just, the inside look at a kind of a fiasco, if you will, where nobody really thought about the whole taking it out and how it was patched up. Was it patched up appropriately? The Packers didn't like it. The Raiders didn't like it either, although Gruden made amends with it when they shortened the field to 80, and he said to his team, look, we'll play on a 180-yard field if we have to. We'll play anywhere, any way they want us. We're playing. The fact that they won the game, you know, he then, you know, didn't have a problem with the field. But as I mentioned earlier, he did not like it. He just did not like it leading up to it. Was very critical of it. And then afterwards, of course, they win. Everybody's safe. Nobody got hurt. Everything's fine. Now the field's no problem. I mean, that's basically the way they put it. But Ron, the other thing, a reason I'm bringing this up, Nathan Peterman might have a job. He might have a job.
Told you. I mean, you know what? It would behoove Canton to just make a bust now.
Why not, right?
I think so.
I think Gruden is doing something that I've seen this a couple of times in sports. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens a couple of times where there is a football coach mentality of, you know what, he's not successful because I'm not with him. And I think Gruden feels this way about Peterman. I think he felt for Peterman because we talked about this when he was in Buffalo. It's not Peterman's fault that he's in the NFL. Of course he's going to be in the NFL. Of course. It's not up to him to say, guys, I can't do this. Obviously, you guys are seeing the tape. I can't play. I'm going to go sell real estate. Thanks. Thanks for the offer, but I'm not going to do this anymore. That's not up to him. He's going to keep playing in the league as long as somebody wants him to play in the league. And he doesn't care about what his statistics say, how many interceptions he throws, how many bad reads he has, how many overthrown footballs he throws, whatever. It's up to the coaching staffs of the teams to say, no, I'm sorry, your run is over in this league. And I think Gruden saw that when he was with Buffalo and said, you know what? I've seen this kid do some good things, but he's not with the right team. And I'm going to bring him to Oakland, and I'm going to make him what others couldn't. And I'm going to make people who said he should not play in the NFL, like me, I'm going to make them eat their words. And Peterman is doing good things in the preseason, albeit it's in the preseason. But the way HBO took Peterman last night in the game against Winnipeg, right, and framed it, Gruden is ecstatic over this guy. The way he talked to him after the end of the game, I was like, he's keeping him on the roster. He's keeping him on the roster. He's not cutting him. Unless something else changes, or unless Mike Glennon pops up and does something else, he's not cutting him. He's keeping him. I mean, he was gushing last night over Nathan Peterman and his performance in a preseason game against, again, whatever the Packers threw out there as a team. They left 33 players on the sidelines for the game. But Peterman threw good balls. He audibled right. He didn't take a sack. He didn't hold on to the ball too long. Those are things he can do in a game, regardless of the competition, that coaches can say, you are making progress at the position. And he did. Like, it was a wide open receiver, and he hit him perfectly, right? Every quarterback should be able to do that, but Gruden made a huge big deal of it because he loved the way he threw the ball, just loved the way the ball came out in a spiral, tight spiral, that kind of thing. Those were the praises that he had for Peterman. I think he's got a job in this league. I think he's going to play for the Raiders. I think he's going to be a backup quarterback to Derek Carr.
Oh, he's definitely going to be a backup, and maybe he goes Tonya Harding on Derek.
Maybe so, right?
You
yeah.
know, just somewhere
yeah.
in the tunnel, takes a crowbar to
but
the
man,
knees.
If you had told me at the beginning, though, you know, Mike Glennon was a starter. I mean, real starter in this league. He wasn't like a Peterman starter. He was a real starter.
I figured,
and Peterman said not a great preseason.
I figured he was going to be on the roster. I thought, you know, it's very rare nowadays for a team to carry three quarterbacks.
Right.
But I felt that he was going to, just because, you know, Gruden's love affair with him.
Loved him. Really
and
loved
now
him.
We're looking at maybe he's the maybe he actually is the section. Maybe he's the one holding the clipboard right next to Gruden. And maybe Gruden's modeling. Maybe he's sitting there going, you know what? You just stay with me. You may not be a great quarterback, but you got a great football mind. I'll train you to be a coach.
And I just think there is this little bit of hubris on Gruden's part to say, look, when everybody said no, I'll say yes. And there are things about him that I really like, and I like it so much that when it does become successful, I will be proven right on this kid. Everybody's making fun of him. Everybody's throwing all sorts of all sorts of words against him and all, but I will make him a player. Not necessarily a star, doesn't have to be a star, but I'll make him a player. And to be honest with you, it seems to be working out so far because he's playing really good in the opportunities that he's had to play and just the overall gushiness of Gruden on this guy when he does play well shows me a little more. I mean, he's overly excited. I mean, think about the scenario in the game against the Packers, right? He's going up against nobody. It's late in the game. He's putting together some really good scoring drives. But again, and Gruden is treating him like it is a real game, and he's doing this in a real game and talking to him in that way. It's showing that Gruden has an interest beyond just finding a backup quarterback, a number two. I feel like there's a connection between those two that Gruden wants to have. That he wants to have on this team. And I think a lot of it was all of the criticism that was thrown his way, right? Like I said, it's not his fault that he had a job in the NFL for the Bills. Bills kept him. And then when he didn't do so well, all right. So it's really good. Next week will be the episode. It's not my favorite episode per se in Hard Knocks, but I just can't stop watching it. Yep. Is when the cuts come. Right, I just can't stop watching.
Do you think Gruden goes, hey, man, I'm going to cut you from the team, knock on wood.
Knock on wood, right? Yeah. So knock on wood, if you're with me, you're out of here. Yeah. I'm like, what? Give you your playbook, knock on wood? Oh, gosh.
Is that got to be the worst feeling that, you know, so-and-so comes down and says, hey, you know, coach wants to see you, grab your playbook.
Oh, it's got to be awful.
If you hear the words, grab your playbook, you're just like, ah, great.
I know. They know the day is coming.
Not even make the practice squad.
And in any other reality show, they would say to the, all right, we got to create some drama. We got to create some anger. We got to make this a show. They can't do it because these kids come in, they play hard, they sit with the coach, and the coach is, they never berate the guy. They always tell him how awesome he is, how much they loved him, how much they, it's always a numbers game, right? Just a numbers game. Got enough guys on the roster at your position, but I'll do whatever I got to do. You give, you know, let me know. I can make a call for you. We loved having you. It's everybody that, it's never a guy that goes, they go, yeah, you're out of here. You stunk. You cannot play. Get out and don't come back, man. Do not even think about joining this league again. No, they give people hope. They give people, you know, they say, listen, and you know, the guys go, they call their agents and they see what's going on.
I would just love one time for one of these guys to realize that they're filming a TV show. And it's like, you know what? I need to get my name out there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Let me ham this one up a little bit.
Exactly. I need to get focused. I need to show up. Yeah, it's funny though, is the NFL though, you should never feel too down. If you're pretty good and you've shown some tape and you've got some coaches backing you up, the injuries just start piling up and you should get a call from somebody. I mean, you should get a workout. There's always teams going, all right, let's bring a bunch of tight
ends.
That's
the best thing about it, because I mean, especially this fourth game coming up, it's all about tape.
Right.
That's
right.
All this game is about. If you see a starter playing, that coach is going to get fired.
When I first covered the Broncos, I really wasn't in tune to what the fourth preseason game. I was kind of, early in my career, I was like, what are we doing here? Nobody's playing. But then when you would talk to guys afterwards and they would say that they'd say, well, I got some good tape tonight. I really felt like I made some plays and made some tackles. And you realize, oh yeah, this is what they're using this for.
Yeah. And Hard Knocks is the best one about it because they could probably even go, I'm hoping there's some sort of clause in the contract between HBO and the NFL where a player can go, hey, HBO, you know, I saw you guys standing over there. You got a lot of my practice reel. Can I have some of that?
Oh, sure. I bet there is. I bet their agents are probably. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. They're probably calling up saying, hey, listen, man, there's some B-roll. Can we get some of that? Is there any chance we can get some of that? I'm sure the NFL says, yeah, why not? It's it's kind of their property too.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's their production.
I mean, all
too.
They're going to do is like, we're just going to throw it away anyway. So yeah, you want to copy? Go
yeah,
for it.
Exactly. All right, coming up, not everybody is thrilled or excited for Andrew Luck as he's moving on to the next phase of his life. Steve Berline had an amazing Twitter rant. We'll tell you about that coming up next. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, prepare for those road trips. And before you travel, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so most of the people who have commented, former players who have commented on Andrew Luck's retirement, have been very supportive. There are players in the league that are very supportive because people get it. This is a hard, hard, hard sport, especially if you played it and understand the injuries and the rehab and everything that goes into playing the position at a high level. I'm sure there are plenty of guys that go, you know what? I would have loved to been able to, I wish I could have gotten out of this my fourth surgery, my fifth surgery, but I had to keep playing. I kept playing. I had a 10-year career, but man, I wouldn't have minded if it was just seven and got out of this without those two late injuries. But not Steve Berline, the former NFL quarterback, was not a fan of this at all. On a Twitter rant, here's what he said. I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan. That's always a red flag, right? When you're ready to start on a rant and you go, before you think I hate the guy,
no, that's the equivalent.
I like the guy.
Isn't that the equivalent of no offense, but?
Right. No offense, but I'm an Andrew Luck fan. Always have been. So before you rip me for being a hater, I'm not really a hater. I just kind of hate this situation. Berline says, I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan, always have been. This I cannot defend or justify. No scenario where retirement is defensible. To do this to his teammates, organization, fans, and the NFL 2 weeks before the season is just not right. I love the guy, but this will haunt him. Point is, this is a massive decision he said he pondered for 10 days. Colts invested in him for 5 to 10 years. Go on IR. Get away for a few weeks and think about it. Get healthy for the second half of the season and make a run. Colts are good. If Jacoby Brissett goes 4-4, they have a chance. The millions he walked away from affects only him. The decision to walk away just prior to the season affects his team, organization, fan base, and the entire NFL. All had it invested in him for the year at least. Walk away after the season. His team needs him to make this run. I know rehab is tough. I had 19 surgeries as a player, 8 over 2 years. It sucks, but he owes it to his team. It's just a lower leg injury, and it'll heal. Give it a chance. If it doesn't walk away after this year. There are some valid points here, right? But overall, we all have no idea what Andrew Luck is dealing with, right? The idea that it's just a leg injury. Well, not really, Steve. Not really. They don't know exactly what's wrong with him. They've kind of diagnosed this as an ankle injury, then it was a calf injury, and it's not either one, and it's both. He has not had a good diagnosis on this from anybody, and it's agonizing and it's painful. But he's 29 years old. How much more can a guy take with all the injuries that we listed before, right? The lacerated kidney, not only the concussions, the torn cartilage, all of those things in his ribs, all of the things that he has suffered, not only the shoulder injury, but also now this. It just, after a while, you can't take the pain and the rehab and the idea of, I'm going to get better to come back and start this all over again. But does he owe the NFL anything? I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, look, you can make the comment on the team, right? You can say, well, it's 2 weeks before the season started, teammates, etc. Fan base, I wouldn't play hurt because of the fan base. I mean, fan base is the fan base. It's great. I'm supportive. But I got to make a decision that's not congruent on a mob. But he owes the entire NFL? The entire NFL is invested in this? What are you talking about?
You know, that's me. That's you.
Right?
I mean, we care, right? We need Luck back to complete our life.
The Green Bay Packers, do they go, oh my God, our product is less than because Andrew Luck's not in the league anymore?
Yeah. Green Bay Packer fan can't relax over this.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't know what he means by the NFL. Look, I get it from an overall, there's national games that would have featured Luck, maybe now have to be adjusted. They have to be flexed out on Sundays. But Monday night games are locked in, so you get Jacoby Brissett. But that's the way it goes.
I mean, the first issue I have with this is when he says, you know, go on IR. You know, get your head right. I'm like, the guy has been on IR for almost, feels like, the last 3 years.
Yeah.
It's an anomaly. I mean, I forget. I mean, he actually played a lot last season, and it's like a blur to me. Just because, we came to know Andrew Luck being associated with injuries because he's missed so much time. And I think, for Andrew Luck, probably the thought of going on IR again is like, why am I doing this?
I will say this for Burline. This is brave to go on this stance. This is not a popular opinion, but at least he's honest with how he feels about it, right? I mean, at least he's out there putting it out on social media saying it's kind of contrarian to everything else that everybody's saying, that all the former players are saying about this retirement. I'm the one saying, listen, I've had surgeries. I've been hurt. I stayed and played. But the business of the sport, you've kind of disappointed the business of the sport. Make no mistake on this. This is what he's saying, right? When it comes to the teammates, yeah, you can understand a little bit when they're thinking that they're going to have their quarterback and then they don't. But the reality of it is they didn't think they'd have their quarterback. What if the injury was going to keep him out for the entire 2019 season? Mm-hmm. What if that calf injury was going to keep him out for 10 weeks or 16 weeks or 4 weeks? The players weren't thinking Andrew was going to play in week one because they hadn't been told that he was going to be healthy enough to play in week one. Everybody speculated, but there was no official feeling among the organization that he was going to be ready.
Even that, or what if this calf injury turns into something serious, like what that happened to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant just had a calf issue.
Right, right.
And then he comes back and he plays maybe a half and he pops his Achilles and he's out for 12 to 18 months.
Right.
Exactly. What if the same thing happened to Andrew Luck? Does he really want to go through all that again? Where he's he pops, if it happened in the first game, he pops his Achilles, like, well, my season's over. I gotta fight through training camp to see if I can even step foot on the field again. I mean, you start weighing it out. It's like, do I really want to put my body through this? I'm sorry. Sometimes you've been playing football all your life. You pick up injuries all this time. Your body's done. Your body's tasked.
Well, then he writes, Colts invested in him for 5 to 10 more years. Yeah, Steve, that's true. But at the same time, this is not a new thing that's happened in the league where a guy retired early. It's called retirement. It's called leaving. The Colts are letting him keep the money because when he changes his mind, they want him on the team.
You know what I'm curious about? Why are we more concerned with Andrew Luck retiring as opposed to when Rob Gronkowski retired?
Same age. Right? Gronk, it was, well, I mean, I... It's we had the same feeling of the injuries with Gronk that we do about Andrew Luck. When you watched Andrew Luck throughout his entire NFL career up until last season with a better offensive line, it was, my God, that guy gets hit all the time.
Yep.
And you'd watch Gronk and you'd say the same thing. My God, Gronk gets hit hard. He gets brought down hard. He's a big guy that goes down hard. And man, I can understand why he'd want to stop doing that. Same with Luck. This guy hit the turf more than anybody else in his first 4 years in the NFL. Quarterback.
We forget about that because of the accolades he was able to accomplish. So we don't look at the fact that he was on his backside for a lot of those passes that he completed. We just know that he completed those passes for a considerable amount of yards, maybe a touchdown here or there. But most of the time, he was watching that laying down.
The guy talked about playing with a lacerated kidney. Played with a lacerated kidney.
That doesn't sound comfortable.
I have no idea how you do that, right?
Listen, I had a kidney stone and I could barely, walk, let alone, do anything else.
And can you imagine being on the sidelines, just being like, I get to sit down. And then they ask you to go back out there again. You're like, okay, let me go back out there again and throw the ball around with this lacerated kidney, whatever. Or he didn't know what it was, but it was, a lot of pain.
Yeah, right? But he was urinating blood.
He was urinating blood.
I can't be comfortable.
I see some of his points, but boy, this is a real takedown of the Andrew Luck retirement. Speaking of the Colts, do they owe anybody any money because of this situation? Next, SB Nation AM. Hey!
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. Hit us up there, your thoughts of the program, or 800-224-2004, if you want to chime in on the show. All right, so there are a number of Colts fans who want a refund for season tickets that they bought. And I immediately dismiss this as, well, no, that's the price you pay, right? You're buying season tickets. If you buy it because of a player and he doesn't there, that's too bad. That's the way it goes. But the more I've been reading about this, there might actually be a legal case for this. The only problem that I see is that there is a slippery slope that could occur where as owners of teams, and it doesn't even matter, it doesn't have to be the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, or whatnot, you are opening yourself up to a big can of worms if fans can get refunds on season tickets based on who's on the roster or not. I mean, think about a Major League Baseball team, right? Where you have guys who buy season tickets for, you know, this is going to be a good year. We got a good pitching staff. We got a couple of young guys, and we got these two veterans, and the season doesn't go very well, and it doesn't start off very well. It's a little disappointing. And then the baseball team does what some baseball teams do. They see a veteran that maybe getting close to free agency, and they put him on the market, and he gets traded. And next thing you know, they get some young guys in the minor league system. They get maybe a young pitcher. They're rebuilding the team. What are you going to field phone calls for the next 5-6 months on people who are wanting refunds on their season tickets because you traded away a veteran player? And not to mention how retirement doesn't usually occur 2 weeks of the season, but retirement can occur at any time. So when is the cutoff? Not everybody walks away when Peyton Manning wins a Super Bowl and then he shows up a couple weeks later and goes, that's it, I'm done. Thanks for the memories. A lot of guys go to training camp and go, I can't do this anymore. A lot of guys will do it in the middle of the season, right? The one guy did it at halftime of a game. And also, what is the cutoff point in terms of what kind of player? Like, does the legal system have to determine who's a valuable player and who isn't? If I really like Jacob Smith, who played at my alma mater, and he's a wide receiver, and he announces abruptly that he's no longer can play in the NFL, and he's hurt and he wants to be done with it, he's had a tough 2 years, but I bought season tickets because I really liked him when he was old at the old State U. Do I have a case? I mean, it seems simple with Andrew Luck, right? I mean, it seems simple, like, wow, the guys bought season tickets thinking the team was going to be competitive. He's the quarterback. He's not only a quarterback, he's a star quarterback. This is a team that went to the divisional round of the AFC last year, losing to Kansas City. There's a lot of high hopes. I should get a refund because those hopes have now been taken. But legally, do these fans, can you do this for anybody? Can you do this for anybody at any time? And there's a lot of interesting legal questions here. This has not been, I thought immediately they had no case. I thought immediately fans in Indianapolis just screaming and hollering, but in the end have no case. But there are some legal people who have said, nope, this could cause the Colts to have to give refunds. I don't know how. I wish I was a lawyer. I don't know how this could happen. I mean, again, I'm throwing out all of the ramifications that could occur for sports teams if you were to fall on the wrong side of a ruling from a judge. Because again, anybody could come up with any reason to get a refund on season tickets. Well, I like that player even though he was a second string wide receiver, and now he's retired. I'm no interest in seeing him. Or they traded away a guy to better their team for the future, but I have season tickets today. And I didn't like that. All of those things. I mean, I don't know what the slippery slope is. It's an interesting legal issue. Like I said, I really wish I had more of a legal mind for this. I always said the two things in sports, when you do this for a living and you cover sports for a living, there's two things that you're trying to be an expert on, but because it takes an immense amount of schooling, you can only do so much. And that's being a medical doctor and a lawyer,
right? You've got to assess injuries. You got to report on injuries. You kind of have to know what these ligaments are. You know, what's a torn ACL compared to a strained ACL? What's an MCL? What's an Achilles? How long does it take to rehab from either one of those? The shoulder, the clavicle, right? You have to know all this kind of stuff. And then the legal aspect of it, there are some legal things that teams have to deal with. And then there's off the field issues that you have to kind of get to know and kind of have to feel. I remember once, just a quick story on that. I remember when, do you remember when Gilbert Arenas got in trouble for bringing a gun into a locker room?
Of course.
Remember that? I remember talking to a lawyer that we had on a show I was doing, and he was kind of a local lawyer, did some advertising with us, but he was like our expert. Like, we would go to him all the time with these legal issues. And I said to him, I said, okay, well, he didn't, you know, he didn't fire the gun, or he didn't use it in a threatening manner. He just brought it in a locker room. And he brought up the fact that, you know, he goes, no, it's very similar to why the judge really hammered OJ when OJ went to go back to get his stuff, is that he posed a threat, even with the gun, to people in the hotel. Like, it's not just the people there, it's everywhere, right? It's that bullet could have gone through the wall and hit somebody walking along a corridor or anything like that. And it was kind of like, oh yeah, that's how you guys think. I was like, okay, I get it now. But that's kind of what you got to do. You got to have to know this stuff on the periphery, at least. But legally, I mean, this is an interesting, I can't imagine if a bunch of season ticket holders sue the Colts, let's say. I don't think they'd win, but I do think there'd be a lot of questions.
Yeah, you know what? I almost want to say the Colts, I mean, you can be understanding, obviously you don't want to lose the revenue, but this is one of those peculiar cases where, I mean, they need to get out ahead of it. You know, maybe start advertising like, you know, hey, you still got the Colts. You know, there's 52 other players that were going to make this roster.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But if you do start to refund, anyone claiming a refund has to do it before the first game.
Well, that's true, and
because
I think
if you go to that one game, you can't say, "Oh, you saw one game. Okay, now you can get a refund." No,
yeah,
no. You're in.
I agree completely. I will say this: I think the people that have the best leg to stand on, and it would take some digging, and it would take, you know, probably take some depositions, and it wouldn't be as simple. Just go to court. You'd probably have to have some investigation. If the Colts knew about this and then still sold season, in the gap between the time they knew it and the time they sold season tickets, those people could get a refund.
Yeah.
So if they knew and held on to the information for the right time, right?
But if we're talking mere hours, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not, I mean, the way it all sounds, I mean, it sounds like Andrew Luck has been thought about this for a while, but then he went to the team that day or the night before. He went to Ursa the day before, I think. That was what it was, or that day.
Yeah, and then it started. Then it leaked, and then it leaked.
You know, I mean, I don't. That argument you can throw out the window. Anyone who does decide to bring this to suit, they have to surrender their tickets. Just put them on hold.
Yeah,
you know, can't go to game one. And if you're going to sue to get your money back, don't go to the first game.
Nope, not at all. By the way, do we? I was thinking about this kind of like Monday, and I was kind of processing it. Do you remember when Magic Johnson announced he was HIV positive?
Yep.
Remember how shocking that was?
Of course.
Do you remember how, when he got to the podium in a pre-social media time, how shocking that was? Like, what's he doing? What's he going to announce? Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah,
right?
Never. Remember? And because we all, at that age too, or that era, that was a death sentence when he announced that.
Exactly.
Because our first thought was like, oh my God, he's going to die in 2 years.
Oh, absolutely. Thought he was done. Thought he was going to die because everyone we knew did die, right? Yeah. Everybody we knew.
Never would have thought he'd still be alive today, creating chaos with the Lakers organization.
Exactly. But there was a press conference. Nobody knew why. It was a shock. Now find a press conference where the news is shocking.
Yeah.
Find a press conference where somebody hasn't already leaked it out to somebody exactly what this is. And I don't know if that's better or worse. I don't know if I liked it when it was a shock or I liked knowing when I knew, like as soon as possible. Think about the, like, we talked about this with the booing. Funny enough, people in the stands never got context.
Funny enough, I mean, you're bringing up Magic Johnson announcing his retirement when he's HIV positive. He was able to shock the world again when he retired from being in the Lakers front office.
That's right. That is true. That is true.
Magic knows how to do this.
Magic does know how to do this. That is true. Nobody had that earlier than Magic announced it. But also, Magic announced it in the hallway of that, you know.
And he literally told nobody.
Right. Told nobody. And then said, oh, by the way, everybody get over here real quick. I got something to tell you. But if he had told Jeannie Buss and said, all right, tomorrow let's call a 1 o'clock press conference, I guarantee it would have gotten out.
Oh, we would have
somehow.
Known. Yeah, we would have known.
Even if it was just him and Jeannie that knew, somebody would have said something, right? There's just somehow this stuff gets to these guys. I don't care if it's Woj. I don't care if it's Schefter. I don't care if it's Windhorst. Who's the baseball guy? Jeff Passan? Is he now the new inside guy for baseball? Right? Passan gets this info. I don't know who the hockey guy is, but they just get this. They somehow get this. And I think there is, on a smaller level, there are people on the lower level that find themselves with this information and they can't help themselves but have this special power of being able to leak this to the powerful guys in the media. Look, if you're a low level, I don't want to say low level, it's kind of insulting, but you know, if you're on the bottom rung of an organization and you have killer information, you'd be kind of psyched to give it to Adam Schefter, right? You'd be kind of psyched if you could do that anonymously, give that tip off to Adam Schefter, right? You'd probably feel a sense of pride. Some people wouldn't. Some people would say, no, I'm taking this to the grave, not on my watch. I'm loyal to this organization. But a lot of people would go, oh my God, could I be the one that tells Adam Schefter this information? Awesome. It's just, secrets are so hard to keep. They're so hard to keep. But again, the booing, the fans that were booing, remember, they didn't get any context. I mean, we still didn't like it. It was awful. But they got just a tweet. And it was just like, what? Why? Now, I've heard both sides of this. Look, over the last couple of days, I've heard the argument. Because I made the argument early in the week. I said, no, I'll give them a little bit of a pass. I'll give them a pass because, you know, they just got that tweet and they were angry and it's frustrating. But then I heard somebody else say, yeah, but they didn't know why. And it could have been really bad. Like, what if he had cancer? Like, and I was thinking, yeah, that's true. Like, they didn't even, like, I didn't even process that.
What if he announced he was HIV positive?
Right, right, exactly, right? Like, what if he had something, you know, instead of thinking that it's just, oh, he's quitting because he's hurt. What if he had something serious?
That goes back to what you said on Monday, that it's just the mob mentality. One guy starts booing because he's liquored up, and then another guy starts booing, joining in, and before you know it, you got a whole crowd just booing.
Yeah,
and
right.
For the most part, there were probably some people there booing who didn't really understand why they were booing.
Yeah.
They didn't even realize that was Andrew Luck walking off the field. It's like, oh, that's probably an opposing team. We should just boo them.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. That's another good point. How many booed didn't know what they just heard booing and just booed?
Yeah.
Just booed just to boo.
Hey, they're booing over
Twitter.
Here. Let's
they
go
weren't
boo
on Twitter.
With them.
Nobody around them had the information. Nobody else knew. Nobody, you know. Yeah, you know, but maybe word spread quickly. Who knows? All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. We'll get to some tweets coming up next. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. If you want to hit us up, we'd love to hear from you. Because, you know, that's what we do. This hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our good friend Michael, teams cannot be held accountable from a player decision. If a team is projected to finish last but winds up winning the Super Bowl, can the franchise bill additional costs to the season ticket holders? Yeah, good point. Yeah. But, you know, I think that, I don't know, there's something about the idea if the Colts knew and sat on that news for a couple of days and then still held, you know, sold season tickets, could, I mean, you know, I mean, look, again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm speaking way above my head. But I don't know if there's a legal case there. Like, if you bought your season tickets in March, too bad. Man, this is the way it goes, right? You're paying for football. You're not buying, there's no guarantee that players play, are going to be available, are going to be on the roster. It's none of that stuff. I mean, what if Antonio Brown was a disaster for the Raiders, right? Like, let's say he was a disaster.
And he still might be.
But he still might be. But let's say John Gruden was like, Mike, we can't keep this guy. Knock on wood. Like, we can't keep him. Like, I don't want him. Let's get rid of him. Trade him. He's a pain. I can't deal with this. He's absolutely a distraction, right? Like, the Raider season ticket holders couldn't say, I bought tickets for Antonio Brown and you cut him. I can't deal with that. No, we all go into these games knowing that what we're buying. We're buying a contest between two teams, and however best that team is put together is what happens. I don't know that. I don't know. But again, I've seen weird lawsuits where I go, no way. That should never be in court. And it gets in court.
Well, I mean, the creme de la creme is the lady who sued McDonald's because her coffee was hot.
Yeah, but that was really hot.
Well, I know, but I mean, still, I mean, you know, it's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, that one always baffled me that you were able to get money back because the coffee was hot.
I don't know, man. Look into that one because that gave her like third degree burns. She needed skin grafts. That was like at 190 degrees or something.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it's hot.
Right.
Don't wear it.
But again, the initial thought was, yeah. But yeah, don't you agree, though? Don't you think, like, oh, they're never going to get that to court? And then next thing you know, it's in court. And you go,
the Saints are suing the NFL.
Right. Right. That's a better example. You're like, wait a minute. Over a referee call? Unbelievable. You can't sit. And then a judge goes, no, let's depose the commissioner on this one. I'd like to hear what he has to say. Like, are you kidding me? So you never know. The Colt fans might find their day in court.